We're going to start in verse number 12. We're going to focus on verse number 18. And when I got here, I overheard a conversation with Brother Thomas, and I thought, that's it. I know I got the right message for tonight. I would like to share with you what the Lord shared with me when I was doing devotions not too long ago. I read through 1 Timothy one day, 2 Timothy the next. I read through Titus, and I went back to 1 Thessalonians. All the T's come together in the New Testament. So that's where I was at. And as I was getting to the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I was reading, and there's always a monologue going on in the background. I can't turn it off. And it went something like this. And we beseech you, brethren. Okay, he's talking to saved people. He's encouraging them. He's kind of coming at them to get their attention. To know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Okay, he's talking about workers in the ministry. I think he's talking about preachers. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And I'm thinking that reminds me of Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And I thought about verse number 7 in the same chapter. Remember them that have the rule over you. Okay, so I need to esteem my pastor. I need to hold him up. I need to aspire to him. And be at peace among yourselves. Peace amongst yourselves. Okay, he's talking to saved people. He's talking to the church. We need to be at peace with each other, together. Unity. I keep reading. Now we exhort you. That's a little stronger, but he's kind of coming at it a little bit differently. Instead of directly approaching, he's coming alongside. And he's kind of putting his arm around us, coming alongside us to encourage us here. It's the word parakaleo. Same, we get our word paraclete. Now we exhort you, brethren. Okay, he's talking to saved people. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Okay, I'm to be patient with everybody, but I'm not to treat everybody the same. When I'm dealing with people, some people need to be warned because they're headed in the wrong direction. Some people need to be comforted. Some people need to be supported, but I'm supposed to be patient with everyone. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. I just quoted this verse to two of my kids. I won't name any names, but they were fighting. They were playing the hit back game. You know, one does something wrong to the other, and that one thinks that they can do, oh, hi, Tim, they can do whatever they want in return. It's the hit back game. Did you ever play that game as a kid? Brother Beal, did you play that game? Okay, maybe with a neighbor next door. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Note to self, Brother Beal, only child. I knew that. I'd have gotten that on a multiple choice test. But ever follow that which is good. Even when someone does something wrong to you, you're still to do something right in return. Their behavior should not dictate your response. The commentary goes on. Unto both among yourselves and to all men. Okay, so that's in the church with saved people, and it's out of the church with unsaved people. So when someone cuts me off in traffic, I'm supposed to respond with a smile and a wave. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I'm thinking, man, everybody's looking for the will of God. Well, it says right here, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm thinking, it's not so much that we don't know what the will of God is. We don't want to do what the will of God is really what the problem is. And I thought, I just read this a couple of minutes ago, for this is the will of God. And I turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3, and I find that exact same phrase. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And I'm thinking, that's what pastors been preaching on Sunday nights. Okay, so sexual relations outside of marriage out of bounds. sexual relations inside of marriage is okay. Okay, that's the will of God. Young people, that's the will of God. Young men, that's the will of God. Young ladies, that's the will of God. That's what the Bible says. So when we look at in everything give thanks, that's the will of God. In everything. And I heard Thomas say something about his truck being keyed, and he said, well, praise the Lord, we're in the right place. That's really the idea of what that verse is saying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you a needy people. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. I thank you for what you've shown me through your word, and I pray you'd help me to share that with others today. Father, we'll give you all the praise and the glory for what you accomplish here. Holy Spirit of God, would you open the eyes of our hearts that we can see the truth of your word, and then as Brother Ivan prayed, that we would apply it to our hearts for the rest of eternity, that we would be more like Christ. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, the first thing I noticed when I really stopped it, this is the will of God, I backed up because it says, in everything give thanks. And I thought, man, that's a command. That's a command. In everything give thanks. So if I'm going to violate that command, it's just the same as violating the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Or the ninth, thou shalt not bear false witness. I mean, what's the difference? There really is no difference. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's another command. This is a command. In everything give thanks. You know, if it just said rejoice, pray, give thanks, I could do that. I couldn't do that. But those adverbs that modify the verbs, they're pesky. Rejoice evermore. I don't always feel like rejoicing. Sometimes I need to remember to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. I heard a pastor say one time, if you ever want to bring conviction to the congregation, preach on prayer, because no one prays like they should. But when there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, and I can approach Him any time during the day, I may say something like, Lord, help me. I'm talking to God right then and right there, and that's enough. But the idea, pray without ceasing, always on praying ground, in everything give thanks. It's a command. In everything give thanks. It is the will of God. In everything give thanks. Here's the point. In every event or circumstance, the Christian is to give thanks to God for the good that He can bring out of the event, even should that event be unpleasant. In every event or circumstance, the child of God is to give thanks to God for the good that He can bring out of the event, even should that event be unpleasant. You know, and as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? That's a lot like one of my favorite verses. Romans 8:28. And I'm not going to re-preach that sermon, but and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And we know that, right? You know that. We know that, right? And we know that all things work together for good. In everything give thanks. The constant attitude of prayer in verse number 17 will certainly make verse number 18 a whole lot easier to accomplish. You know, when you're looking back, hindsight's always 20/20, right? When you're looking back and you can see things a little bit clearly, when the pieces fit together and it makes sense and you're like, oh, yeah, I see it now. I see how God was working and I can thank Him for that. It's a good thing that happened, because if that hadn't happened, then this wouldn't happen. And that's really easy. My daughter asked me what a pulpit prop was. I'd like to show you a pulpit prop. I bought this bunny rabbit 18 and a half years ago. And you say it looks brand new. That's because I gave it to my wife and not to my children. 18 and a half years ago, give or take a day, we were at Rush St. Luke's Presbyterian Medical Center. It's where my wife worked, where she also was now a patient. She was 5 1/2, 6 months pregnant, and she was having contractions. And I'm not a baby expert, But I know that at 5.5 months, if your wife goes into labor, you got a problem. So she's crying, and I can still see her on the exam table because it wasn't like you had a private room. There were like multiple tables. But we were like the only ones there because it was very late at night. And I went downstairs, and I went and I bought that rabbit, and I brought it back upstairs, and I gave it to my wife. And I watched her cry while she held that rabbit. Because it was our first child. It was Kyle. I mean, look at him now. He's 18. He can beat me in arm wrestling. But I look back at that and I'm like, you know what? My wife went on bed rest for 3 months, okay? Short-term disability, no work. Brother Beal, I'm freaking out. How are we paying the bills on short-term disability? I'm working, she's working, and now she's bringing home this little tiny check. I'm supposed to pay the bills. And on top of that, Brother Blondo, someone stole one of those checks and cashed it somewhere in Arizona. So, like, where's the money coming from? I'm panicked. I can still see my wife sitting on the couch washing her face at night out of a pot because she would not get off the couch. That was a pretty bad situation. That was pretty rough. But you know what it did? It really slowed her down. And when my mom called her and said, Alicia, have you read any of those books that I've sent you? She could no longer say, I'm sorry, Phyllis, I'm too busy with work and everything. She had plenty of time to read now. As a matter of fact, that's all she did was read during the day because there was nothing else to do. We weren't saved at the time. But because God got her attention, she had a chance to do some reading. And I may not recommend all the books now, but they served a purpose then and led her in the right direction. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, so that when she heard the gospel, the ground had already been plowed and she was ready. And then the day that fellas, little, this is free. When your wife goes into labor, don't watch comedy shows, okay? Trust me on this. Don't want to explain anymore. Animal Planet would be okay. Maybe the Nature Channel. Don't laugh. Mole, you got it? Don't laugh. Okay. My wife was in labor for umpteen so many hours, I don't know, and then I fell asleep and woke back up, and then the room was full of people. Now, we have 6 children, and every birth after that, there's been 2 people in the room, and they came for a little while, and they were gone. The room was so full of people, I couldn't even get anywhere near my wife. There was a problem. He was stuck, and he was not coming out. And I was afraid to hold babies up until that point, but when I saw that nurse pulling and prodding and putting that vacuum thing on my son's head and just twisting, and I thought she was going to go like this to get him out. After that, I was never afraid to hold a baby, ever again. I said, if she didn't kill my son, there's nothing that I can do. Guys, that was free. It's okay. Babies won't break, okay? Well, my wife had a very difficult delivery, and I think Kyle probably thought that I was his mother because for the first 45 minutes, the only person he saw was me. She wasn't even in the picture. And when they took him away from me to clean him up and then ask, you know, Mr. Birchwell, how many footprints do you want? Because they were stamping little footprints on a little card. I still have them. I couldn't talk. I couldn't speak. It's the closest thing to a religious experience I'd ever had. I mean, how can you hold a newborn baby and doubt the existence of God? It was about a year later we got saved. And the Lord really used the birth of my son to get us in that position. But did you notice what the Bible said? In everything, give thanks. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't waste a single word. He didn't say after everything, give thanks. And that's what I just did. That's easy to do when all the pieces fit together. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. While it is happening. Did you hear about the Calvinists that fell down the stairs? Brother Beal's probably heard this one before. You heard about the Calvinists that fell down the stairs? Ah! Oh! Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that one's over. You know, I heard Brother Spencer talk about a Calvinist that he ran into that was such a hyper-Calvinist that he said to him, God preordained in eternity past that I would look at this blade of grass right now as I'm talking to you. I don't believe that. I think God knew that he would look at that blade of grass, but he still gave him the choice. That's how big our God is. But the idea is, while you are falling down the stairs, you are thanking God. That's the idea in that verse. If you remember anything of what I've said, oh, Mr. Birchwell, that's easy to preach. Yep, it is. It's easy to preach. It's hard to do. I remember once, I think I was younger than Tim. I might have been Benjamin Ivan's age. And my dad took me to Kings Island. And we were on the biggest roller coaster of the time. Okay, this is the 70s. Nothing like you guys are going to ride now. But this was it. The Racer. And it was a dual roller coaster. And it was we were in line forever. Got up there, and lo and behold, seat number one was open. I'd never ridden a roller coaster before, so we got in line for the very front of the train. Some other kids tried to swap me with that seat. I said, no, we're going to stay right here. My dad was a good sport. Let me tell you, when you're going up, how many of you rode a roller coaster before? Okay, just about everybody. You know what it's like. How many of you have ridden in the front seat? Garrett, I knew it. Evangelist. You know, when you're going over that big hill, you're hanging over there, and you know what's coming, but you're just hanging over that big hill until the rest of the train gets behind you. So, I mean, I was like 20 feet down before it even started going. I'm screaming. You know what? Sometimes when we're at the top of the stairs and that fall comes, you know you're going. You know you're going head first. You can see it coming. It's a perfect storm. A lot of times you just get cold cocked. You don't see it coming and bam! You're like, what happened? I remember talking to Gloria Clark. Is Gloria here tonight? She told me about when she fell out of that tree stand. And she told me that when that railing broke, she just hung out there. And she knew she was going. And there was nothing she could do. And you know what she said? She said, well, I guess I'm going to heaven. That's giving thanks to God in everything. In everything. Give thanks. If you remember one thing that I said tonight, it's while you are falling down the stairs. Oh, here I go. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You'll remember now. You'll remember now. In everything, give thanks. It's not just here. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. Ephesians 5, verse number 20. And I'll go quick because I know there's more that we have to. Okay, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We'll go back to the beginning of the sentence. A little rabbit trail here. What is to be confused here with be not drunk with wine? Okay? Social drinking? I don't get it. The Bible says be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. For some of you that have experienced alcohol before, those of you that haven't, praise the Lord. Those that you have, you know a little bit about what I'm talking about. That alcohol has complete control over every facet of that person's faculties. Their speech, their walk, their talk, their sight, the way they carry themselves, everything is under the control of that alcohol. Tim, that is exactly the kind of control that the Holy Spirit of God wants to have over you. He wants to have control of your walk, your talk, your speech, your eyes, how you carry yourself, everything. That's the comparison. Be filled. Be being filled. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're passing over a lot, but notice it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Moving on for the sake of time. Don't you like to hear the words, thank you? Don't you like to hear the words, thank you? I said it earlier, when you're driving and traffic is heavy out there on 74 and you're trying to get in on, you know, you've come from Lowe's and you're trying to get onto 74 right there by the pharmacy, and you've got to make that right turn into traffic, and it's four lanes right there, and nobody's letting you in. Joe's been stuck there, probably getting something for the church at Lowe's, coming back, being in a hurry, wanting to install it right away. When someone lets you in, put yourself on the other side. You let that person in, and they just act like that was your responsibility to let them in. They don't look at you. They just go, and I'm like, see if I let you in next time. Honey, don't you like it when the kids thank you for making something special? Maybe a special dessert. We have a tradition in our family when a child has a birthday, they get to pick the meal. Thank you. Thank you. I remember, Gabe, the first time I heard, thank you, Mr. Birchwell. Before I moved down here, I was Wayne, or Brother Wayne, or Brother Birchwell. But once I moved down here, I was Mr. Birchwell. And at first, I'm like, my dad's not here. But it was at Tri-City. Nate Beam had preached an evangelistic message, and he gave an invitation, and five or six kids came forward. And he divvied them up, and he pointed to me, and I took this young boy, and we went outside. I wanted to talk to him. I didn't want to be inside where all the chaos was. We went outside away from the building, and I don't even remember his name. I said, son, what'd you come forward for? And he said, I'm not sure if I'm saved. He said, I'm not sure if I'm saved. And I said, okay. We went through the plan of salvation. And I asked him, I said, do you understand this? And he said, yeah, I did that before. And I said, okay, did you mean it? We went through it, you know, the whole nine yards. And I said, to the best of your ability, did you mean what you said? And he said, yes. And I showed him some verses from John chapter 3. I said, what does the Bible say? He said, the Bible says that I've passed from death unto life. I showed him another verse, and I said, what does the Bible say then? He said, I'm no longer condemned, that Jesus paid for my sins. And I said, okay, what does the Bible say? He said, the Bible says I'm saved. And I asked one more follow-up question. I'm never satisfied with the first answer. I said, what are you depending on right now to take you to heaven? And he said, Jesus Christ, he paid for my sins. We went back inside. You know what the last thing he said to me, Joe, was? Thank you, Mr. Birchwell. I never forgot that. I like to hear thank you. I know you like to hear thank you. Ladies, can you hear your children echoing back, thanks, Mom. Can you hear it as they're running outside to play? I had one of my sons tell me thank you today on the telephone. Don't you think it would make sense that our Heavenly Father would like to hear those words too? Thank you. It would be an act of obedience because we've been commanded. It would be an act of worship because we are acknowledging who He is. Colossians, you're in Ephesians, look at Colossians. Colossians 3:17. GE Power Company. Colossians 3:17. I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm coming across these references, and I come to, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, that pretty much covers it all. Whatsoever ye do in word, whatever actions, indeed, whatever you say, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I think about that, and I think, if I can't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, I probably shouldn't do it. If it looks wrong, that's because it is wrong. When in doubt, don't. When in doubt, give the benefit of the doubt to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, giving thanks to God. We're getting ready to head into our prayer time. I would think that we would have a whole lot to be thankful for. A whole lot to be thankful for. I know it's hard to be thankful for things in the middle. When you're tumbling down the stairs head over heel and you know it. When you can't pay your school bill and you don't know where the money's coming from. Thank you, God. Thank you. Show me how big you really are. He did it for me. Lord, I'm trying to find a job. I can't find a job. Thank you, Lord. I know that you'll provide. You say, things don't look like they're going to work out. I know that. When you're tumbling down the stairs, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't look right. It's embarrassing. It hurts. But you can't let your circumstances dictate to you your obedience to the Word of God. You say, it doesn't look right. Well, then look with your eyes of faith. Because at that point, you've got a choice to make. God has promised us, and we even sang it, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised that He will always take care of us. He may not provide in the way we thought. He may do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. It may not be when we want it. If we were honest, we'd have to admit it is seldom when we want it, because we want it yesterday, before the need even came up. And sometimes He provides that way. But what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for His Word. I'm thankful for the preaching of His Word. I'm thankful for the preaching that we're getting from our pastor. I've had to think, I like going word by word through the New Testament. He apologized for that. I like it. I've thought to myself, you know what? I got to really think about whether I'm being led by the Spirit or I'm self-controlled. Because a lot of things that I've done that I've thought I've been spirit-filled has really just been Wayne-filled. That hurts. And then, do you remember thanking anyone for a year and a half when we did not have a pastor? Work with me here. I'd come home late at night. I got home once at about 1:15 in the morning, and my wife said, "What do you guys do in those meetings?" And I'm sure a lot of you people probably said the same thing, because it was a year and a half, and you guys were probably like, "What are you guys doing? Why isn't there anybody coming in here? Why have you interviewed anybody? How come no one's come to preach?" Well, you know what? It's easy to be thankful now, isn't it? Man, we did good. And I'm not just saying that because you're here. But what a blessing. We did good. But when it was happening, yeah, it was hard to be thankful. It really was. I got a little bent out of shape for a couple of weeks. Yeah, I did. It was hard to be thankful. I remember having a conversation with Mark Finch, and I'll leave you with this. We stood out here in the parking lot, and we talked about the difficulties, the challenges, and what a growing experience it was for two young wannabe pastors to go through this. And we thanked God for the opportunity. When I go and visit a church and they don't have a pastor, I know what they're going through. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. You know, they will give you a test for you to have a driver's license. But anybody can be a parent. It's crazy. It's the hardest job I've ever had in my life. Gratitude that is felt but is not expressed is like a gift that is wrapped but never given. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know who said it, but I wrote it down. Gratitude that is felt but not expressed is like a gift that is wrapped but is never given. What are you thankful for? Tell them. What are you thankful for? Tell him. Even as you are tumbling head over heels out of control down the stairs. Don't ask why. Ask him what you can learn